Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what did a child experience that made him run like the wind to get out of the house?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost story with us. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Greatly appreciate your support. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all of it commercial free, all of it there for you to binge away on. Give the gift of ghosts. Do that too. Somebody loves ghost stories. Give a year membership. Get 1 month free out of that. It's all there. Either ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
I like the phrase, give the gift of ghosts. I'm sitting here thinking like, I never go shopping in advance. I always wait till the last minute, or I just announce that there'll be no gifts for anybody. That's usually what I end up doing.
Make the proclamation, there shall be no gifts again this year.
That's correct. I'm like, kind of like Ebenezer Scrooge. I'm talking from the top window down to the boy down on the ground. Is there a goose in the window?
Christmas with Todd.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like the last time Christmas was magical, and it certainly was, I think, back when we were kids, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it when we were kids, and I don't know. I mean, having kids, you know, that some of those years have been really good. Some have been really kind of stressful and crappy. But I'm trying to get back to them not being stressful and crappy. So, and just kind of, you know, living through her a little bit. But you know, it's totally different. You can live through your kids to a certain extent, but, you know, just you don't get those exact feelings again. Those, you know, like, oh my God, did I get that toy or this or that? And, you know, just it's something that's there. And then it's, I don't know, it's hard to get that back.
It's hard when in the Christmas of 1977, there was a Springer Spaniel dog under the tree. I mean, that's what Christmas is all about. Yeah. That's what I remember Christmas as, you know. Yeah. Oh, that year it was a dog and a tape recorder, a Panasonic tape recorder. So,
oh God,
my sisters gravitated toward the dog. And of course, I was over in the corner playing with my tape recorder. So,
and just a few short years later, Todd went to work at the radio station.
There'll be no Christmas again this year.
What year did you start on the air?
1990.
It was 90? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I guess I pictured it a little earlier. I don't know.
How old do you think I am? Jesus.
No, I'm trying to, because I grew up listening to you, you know? So I'm just trying to think of what we were listening to. I think the main thing, my parents would always play, the Kyle file where it would be the tabloid headline and then you had to guess that. And I remember many mornings when I was getting ready for school, there's my dad and mom pressing redial on the phone over and over and getting through to you. And then my dad would like try and barter with you like sometimes. I remember there's one bit, and it was actually a really good bit. But he was just being his stingy self, and it was like he said something, and then you thought he said something else. He's like, no, wait a minute. You didn't understand it. And it went on for like 4 minutes. and it was just supposed to be like, what's your answer? No, okay, next. Like, in total, it should have lasted 5 seconds. But I think, like, you ended up letting him win because I don't know. He did something. I don't know. It was just like, it was you.
Probably threatened a lawsuit on the radio station of some sort.
Someday I'll make my, and the settlement was I had to come work there.
Right. So obviously we lost that bet.
Exactly. Well, you let my son come work there and I ain't going to sue your ass. Suddenly my dad is a large African-American man, I guess.
Apparently. Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, this day and age in radio, you would kill to have listeners like that again, you know, because back then they'd call in, they'd get involved, you know, even if they hated you, they'd get involved somehow. Sure. And now it's like, you have to pull teeth to let them win $10,000. You know,
it's crazy. Like, and I don't even know what any of the stations are anymore. Like in my, where I live, I couldn't tell you what one station is. I have no idea. I don't listen. I don't listen to regular radio anymore. I mean, I listen to podcasts mainly and Pandora. And anytime I have tried to listen to local radio, it's just not good. And it's like, why would I choose that over all these other things?
Right. I find myself like, I'll listen to local stuff, even if it's a little bad, but if it's just like something that's, you know, piped in from Dallas or New York, I don't want to hear that.
No, like severe weather.
I just don't want to.
I'll try and find severe weather coverage, but even that doesn't exist half the time anymore either, which is kind of weird. There was a tornado warning in spring and we were in the shelter and I could not find one local station doing anything. And it was like, I mean, it was early. It was like 5-6 in the morning, but still like half the morning shows aren't there anymore, or more than half. And there's nothing. There was no coverage. I was like, oh my God, this is so weird. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, so this is the first time that I'm writing in. Hope one of the parts of my life is a good story to tell. The year was 2007 to 08. I was in middle school when my dad lost his job and we got into hard times. Managed to move into what looked like a great suburban home built in a community that used to be old orange groves in central Florida. Part of the grove still existed at the end of the next street over. After moving into the house, you would just hear knocks around the house, like as if someone said knock on a wood and then knock, knock. No one thought anything of it. Everyone just ignored it. Better than living in the van. And the dream, the reoccurring dream, my point of view in it was standing over a hole under an orange tree with an extremely low branch on one side. The hole had a girl in it with dirt getting piled on her until she was completely covered. Every night, same dream. It was the era when CSI played every day, so I just thought it was from watching that every day after school. Randomly, one day, I decided to explore the abandoned orange grove at the end of the adjacent street. I don't know if it was because of the dream or just because I was a 12-year-old boy and abandoned shit is cool. Going through row after row of unkept orange trees getting taken over by the underbrush, same thing over and over until I see it, the tree with the low branch. My heart stops and I turn white. It's probably only a second or two, but it felt like an hour. I turned around and ran as fast as I could. Things are somewhat normal for a while. I was at my friend's house and his stepdad was taking me home. When he turned down my street, he said, hey, I know this street. When I was about your age, I was in a band with a buddy that lived on the end of the street. I haven't been over here since. Well, his sister went missing. My stomach sank. Only thing I could think of is this confirmation. I get dropped off and run inside and lose my mind. Am I crazy? Am I really dreaming of a cold case of a neighbor girl getting killed a decade plus ago and buried in the orange grove near my house? So I decided to just go on with life and just live with it because who can I tell? Who's going to listen? If someone does dig there and body turns up, what then? Oh, hey, Mr. Policeman, I just randomly dug this one spot in this abandoned orange grove and found a body. Suspicious. I had pretty blue eyes and I'm not fit for prison and I know it. But back on track with the story a couple weeks later, that same buddy is over and I tell him everything. So he comes up with a great idea of a Ouija board and makes one on a notebook paper. And we used a guitar pick as the finger thing. Turned off the lights, lit a candle. We both put a finger on the pick and asked if anyone is there. Nothing happens. He asked a few more questions and nothing. Like notebook paper and a guitar pick would work. As I stand up to turn on the light, the candle goes out. I turn on the light and just say, dang, you could have waited to blow the candle out. My friend with a stone-cold voice looking me in the eye said I didn't blow it out. Nothing else happened that night. We just played video games. A month later, I have other friends stay the night, and as we're going to sleep, tell him, hey, some things and sounds happen around the house sometimes. Don't worry about it. She doesn't hurt anything. Turns out he's the type of Christian that believes when you die, it's heaven or hell. There's no in between. No such thing as ghosts. And he let me know that's the way it is and there's nothing else. Nothing against them, just a component of the story. But I named the girl Molly at some point because it felt right. And as I'm lying in bed and him on the floor telling me about hell, I just say, hey, Molly, if you're here, let us know. The second I finished my sentence, the light turned on. My friend looked as if his entire life went in front of his eyes. The light went back out after a couple of seconds and said, told you. He never said another word and fell asleep. When I woke up, my friend was gone and never came back over. Apparently, he stayed up all night scared shitless, and when he heard my dad making coffee in the morning, he asked to get taken home for not feeling well. Might have scared him or scarred him for life. Moved out of the house not too long after that. No more dreams. Nothing else had come from Molly. And I'm taking the candle, going out as Molly closing out the want-to-be Ouija session, since we didn't really do it. She seemed like a boss bitch that would do that. I hope she finds peace, and I'm sorry I couldn't help. If I didn't live across the country, I would go check under the tree and hopefully give Molly peace. A few more stories, but I think this one has the most to it. A quick short one was my first encounter. My parents raised and showed champion dogs across the country. I was like 4 or 5 years old, and we stopped at a shitty motel in the middle of Oklahoma. I got no sleep with my mom in the bed closer to me in the skin bathroom area and my brother with my dad in the bed by the window and the door. Standard cheap hotel room setup. Well, I wake up in the middle of the night and hear the sink on, so I think nothing of it. And after a few minutes of not being able to sleep from the sink, I sit up and it turns off. I see my mom next to me. I turn around to see my brother and my dad next to him. As what was, that feeling sinks in. I feel the foot of the bed sink in like someone just sat down. I smelled what seemed like cigar or pipe smoke, not the normal cigarette smoke, and put my head under the blanket. Somehow fell back asleep. My other stories are mostly with my childhood best friend who's no longer with us. I don't know if certain people are like portals, but if they are, he was. Some from the military, while on a submarine someone committed suicide on. And that's the story, kids.
Wow. Where can we start unpacking that one?
Let's start with the first part of it, where I'm trying to remember what the first part was because I just got caught up in the other part.
The girl in the Orange Grove, right?
Yes, the Orange Grove girl. Yes, yes.
I have a lot of people who say to me that there are no such things as coincidences. Mm-hmm. So if something happens or something comes to you or something seems like deja vu or something happens because of something else, it's supposed to be that way. So, you know, in the back of my mind, the first thing I'm thinking is there probably is something to what he's feeling. He seems like he's a little bit more intuitive than the average person. So for him to feel that there might be something there in that Orange Grove, I tend to kind of think he might be right about that.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's interesting with the name and everything popping up. Yeah. I would say it'd be just interesting if they could dig into that more deeper. I mean, an easy one to do would be to say, you know, what the girl who went missing, what was her name? I would think that'd right. be an easy one to connect dots on. And, you know, does the name Molly connect to that person? You know, as far as, you know, is she in the Orange Grove? That's, I don't know. I mean, that's where you just call up your friendly neighborhood cadaver dog mart and see if you can rent one for the afternoon. Bring her right back. Good, go ahead.
You could easily go online and see if you can find out the story about that girl missing, though. Certainly, yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah, yeah. I just think cadaver dog mart would be a big sell. A lot of people would... Wouldn't that be great? You could go rent a cadaver dog for the afternoon.
So you're going to have a cadaver dog farm and you're going to have a sage farm. What else are you going to be doing?
Well, sell sage. Yeah. So you can get the demons away. And at the same time, you can find if there's any bodies on the property with our fine breed of cadaver dogs. You know, you need like a cadaver farm to make that work. And have you seen those like ever or heard about them?
I've seen them on TV. Yeah. Like I think they're actually pretty cool.
Well, it is very neat. And I mean, it's people, it's real bodies that are out there in this plot of land. And it just, that's how they teach the dogs to smell for bodies. Yep. And I mean, without it, they wouldn't be able to do that. But that's just interesting. It's like, if too bad, like when you die, I mean, I know you can like donate your body to science, but do you really get much of a choice as to what they do with it? I mean,
I don't think you do.
Like, check the box, like, choose your own adventure. I want to be in the cadaver farm, you know, or would it get to be like too many people picking cadaver farm because it just sounds kind of fun?
Jeez.
What happens eventually, like, when the dog, like, finds, you know, the body and, like, ticks, like, a finger and, like, nobody realizes that he took the finger and he gets back into the house or the kennel or whatever and he's just, like, spits out the finger and he's still, like, they just let him keep it or do they kind of go... Let's get that.
Well, I'll just say for the first time on the podcast, I'm starting to worry about you just a little bit.
I wonder, these are the things I wonder about, you know, because I keep the bodies together, right? Or do you, how do you do that?
From the mind of Tony.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another caller. Hi.
Hello, this is Heather again. I had called in previously about my daughter who had dreams in regards to someone deceased that my husband grew up with, coming to her in dreams and telling her various things. One of the things that she had recently told her, and it didn't make a lot of sense to me, my nephew, when she told me, my nephew had a vehicle, it was a truck, and she said every time she, and she's 13, she's still having these dreams. I know this is one of the things that you and Carol and I don't know, maybe even Harper had discussed, maybe this is something she would grow out of. Thus far, she has not. She still has the dreams and still lets me know some she can and cannot tell me. So one day she woke up and was like, Mama, I had the worst dream ever. It was about my cousin, and I won't say his name. We'll call him B. And she's like, he was in an accident. I said, he was in an accident. And she's like, yes, he was in an accident. And she said it was a bad one. I think he was okay, but it was bad. I think it totaled his vehicle. She said, she told me it's like they all start out, she's like she's over a platform and look down with this lady who has passed on, and she shows her things. And one of the things she showed her was my nephew getting into a car accident, and she said she could see ahead of my nephew. And my nephew was like, what is that? What is that? And she said he was so confused and so discombobulated in the dream. And she said it just didn't make any sense, and it was a different colored vehicle. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Than what he had. So she's like, that threw me for a loop. And she's like, I know what he saw on the road. What was that? He ended up hitting something and totaling his vehicle. She didn't want to, she told the lady that takes her into these dreams, her name is Dana. She was like, Dana, get me out of here. I don't want to know if he's injured bad, you know, please remove me. And she does. So, she can, I guess she isn't forced to stay in a dream that she's not comfortable with. So time passes. I kind of forget about things and the color of the vehicle. And my nephew actually gets a new vehicle. It is that color. I didn't think anything about it. Unfortunately, he had gotten behind the wheel irresponsibly. And he says he doesn't know what he hit, or he knows he didn't hit. It was no hit, not a hit or run. It wasn't anything of that nature. It was kind of out in the country, so it wasn't like, I know he filed a police report. I'm not sure where it's going from there, but everything that was described by my nephew that he could remember was what Lily, my daughter, had described. And on top of that, she had even went into greater detail as like how he was just confused and seeing things that weren't there and just not himself and very shook up and just very, again, just discombobulated, and I'm assuming intoxicated, which at the time, you know, Lily doesn't know much about that. She's not been raised about it, so she didn't know what all that was. But now looking back on it, it all makes sense, and it all, so anyway, she does still have this ability. She does still come to me and she's like, Mama, there are some things that I can tell you. There's some things that I cannot. So I think when in that situation where she was so scared and thinking that something was going to happen to her, cousin, she went ahead and told me just because she felt so scared. But, again, there's things that she tells me and things that she does not, but I just wanted to share that with you because I know there were some things that, like, will she grow out of this? I don't know. Again, she's 13, so could she? Absolutely. Could she not? Absolutely. We're just taking it one day at a time and trying to handle it the best that we can, and I appreciate everyone's advice and being able to call in and have a relatable audience without judgment. I thank you guys for everything that you do. Happy Halloween and have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. Thoughts?
I don't think with those types of abilities, I'd be very, very surprised if the little girl ended up, you know, that it just being kind of a phase in her life. I think she's mm-hmm. probably with these for quite a while. She's older now. If things like that were going to pass away and kind of go off to the side, it usually happens at a younger age.
Sure.
The thing that I would suggest for her mom, though, is find someone that can teach her daughter a little bit more about her abilities so that she can understand them better, mm-hmm. so she can learn how to manage them a little bit. Because can you imagine being 13? And let's just say you get the vision of something that's just completely mind-blowing that you don't want to see. Mm-hmm. How that can affect her. So I would really try very hard to reach out to somebody who might be able to take the time to teach her daughter how to kind of hone those skills.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, I mean, it can get really weird and sometimes, you know, somewhat dark as well. I mean, especially, you know, what you're pulling in and what you're drawn to. I mean, that could be really, you know, kind of scary, you know, in terms of what, you know, what you may end up, you know, experiencing like this.
Right.
This fall on ABC, Doomsday Danny. Danny, what do you see?
I see a man down by the lake.
What is he doing?
Doing things. The neighbor's cocker spaniel.
What?
The dog is gone.
On a very special Doomsday Danny. This Friday, 9, 8 Central on ABC. It could be just something like that. You can go comedy route, though, with it, too. You know, it could be a real wacky one where, you know, they're predicting, like, the future, but it's fun things, not, like, the neighbors doing the dog and killing it.
Yeah. I think this is the second time I'll say on this particular podcast, I'm starting to worry just a little bit about you.
These are genius ideas that should be executed someday on television. Or a great Netflix series, Doomsday Danny. Okay, another call. Hi.
Hey, Tony. I want to thank you for your show. It helped keep me awake during graveyard shift. So I thought I would call in. Like many people, I've experienced things I can't explain my whole life. But I also like to remain a healthy skeptic. So I pay particular attention to those experiences in which I was not alone. There was at least another person experiencing it with me. So in 2008, I moved from Southern California to Western Arizona to follow my future husband, a and his business. He relocated, and I was able to follow him since my business I could just do on the internet, could go anywhere. So he bought a property where he could, you know, live and have the business, and pretty good chunk of property, and we had a tow yard in the back with a 6-foot fence with barbed wire. And it was in a rural neighborhood where most of the other properties are also fenced. And so anyway, right away moving in, we started experiencing strange things together. We would be in the bedroom and we would hear what sounded like a glass breaking, hitting the kitchen floor. We'd run out there expecting to find a mess, and there was nothing. He also saw a woman who looked a lot like me, but dressed a little differently, like perhaps in the late 70s, sort of like a doppelganger of me, but with different fashion. He would see her walking through the house and outside, and, you know, and then ask me, you know, what was going on. And I was usually somewhere, like I was either asleep or somewhere else, so it was definitely not me. And other strange noises and movements. But the thing that stands out to this day, of all the experiences I've had, very early morning, we were laying in bed, and we worked crazy hours, and it was about 5 a.m. The sun was just about to start coming up, and we're laying there, and we hear what sounds like a troop, like a military troop of like maybe 20 men, because they were chanting some sort of a cadence, and we could hear heavy boots hitting concrete, except most of the neighborhood's not paved. Gravel roads, dirt yards, whatnot, and it was very clearly the sound of boots on pavement. And it was also coming through the back of our property, which, as I mentioned, has a 6-foot chain link fence with barbed wire. So we're laying there, we kind of look at each other, and that's really strange. It was very loud, and we could hear it coming up the back of the property toward us. So he jumped out of bed and looked out the window, and he saw absolutely nothing. And we heard this troop pass through the yard, past our window on the right, and out through the front of the property. So I started asking around about, you know, if there was any sort of a group that would do that, and absolutely, you know, nothing like that going on. And then maybe 6 months to a year later, due to some other research I was doing for other projects, I came across a story about General Patton in World War II, and he was doing exercises in the area our house was built upon. So I always wondered if it was sort of a memory etched in time of a time long gone. Anyway, thanks again for your show. And maybe I'll call in with some more stories.
Thanks for sharing those experiences. Thoughts?
Yeah, I like the way she called it a memory etched in time. I mean, yeah. I think when you have that strong of a personality and the situation that that was around, you know, the wars and military and all that kind of stuff, that stuff, as far as I'm concerned, can really get etched into a location.
Sure.
And I think that the fact that she was able to find that out and kind of put two together, whether it's actually that, we don't know, but that's a good possibility.
What do you think of the whole doppelganger thing? That's always an interesting one to me.
Man, I'll tell you what, I've been hearing a lot more about stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think even we had a story a couple of weeks ago on the podcast about that. I just wonder again, like we talk about whether or not we're kind of haunting ourselves, as if some of it's our energy, if this energy can make itself into any kind of form. I mean, listen, I do not want to run into myself when I'm being haunted. Trust me.
Sure.
I'll take just about anybody else. I don't want to see myself.
I think that would be one of the scariest things if that were to happen. You know, it's like,
God, what? Dang it. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be. Speaking of, so many people are seeing the Doppler, talking about the doppelganger stuff. I know another one of the networks is trying to cash in on it. Let's take a listen to this here. Coming soon to NBC. Doppelganger Dominatrix, the story of a man with a plan. to hide his dominatrix lover from his wife. They look alike. It must be a doppelganger. Who is that woman? It's a doppelganger. Doppelganger Dominatrix. Thursdays, 9, 7 Central on NBC. Have you heard about that?
Boy, the networks have really gone downhill ever since Cosby ended up going to prison. I mean, there's just nothing on anymore.
I know. It's like, what is this? Doppelganger Dominatrix? That just, I mean, I don't know. And the cast is weird, too, because I think Helen Mirren actually plays the...
Listen, I bet you she's hot if you put her in some leather. I bet if she's like in a rubber cat suit or something like that, she could be really raw kind
of thing. And there is the line of the night. Even though all the other shit I've said, that wins. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all the commercial free, and support the show. Again, patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you want more Real Ghost Stories and access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.